The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey, welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. I'm so glad that you're here. After the survey that we did a couple months ago about what you wanted to hear on It's Time for Coffee, one of the things that I heard and loved that you guys said was you want to hear more about our mental health journeys. And I'm so thankful that y'all said that, because today we are sitting down with Sandy Brown and Dr. Michelle Kalk. And this book that we're talking about, their new book, Healing Out Loud, is a unique book that covers a one-year journey through counseling told from both sides of the couch. Sandy Brown, the patient, and Dr. Michelle Kalk, the therapist. This book is so incredible. Their story is so sweet, and I'm just so excited to be sitting down with them today. So before I ramble on any longer, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down today with two friends. I love these conversations where there's like more of us, because it just, I don't know, there's just more of us and it's fun. And today we are talking about healing and loving our bodies and loving ourselves. And I'm just really excited. I'm sitting down with Michelle Kalk and Sandy Brown, authors of Healing Out Loud. You guys, thank you so much for joining us for coffee today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is going to be a really insightful conversation. I was going to say really fun conversation, but I feel like I'm already sweating talking about loving myself. So this is going to be a good conversation. This is what it's going to be. Do you ladies have anything in your cups? Are you drinking anything during our time together?
I'm straight up ice water. This is as good as it gets for me. I don't do coffee, but I've got my ice water and I'm good to go.
Perfect. Michelle, what about you?
So right now I'm actually drinking decaf coffee, because you get to a certain age where you can't have any caffeine after, say, like 10 a.m. in the morning, or you're up until, you know, next Tuesday. So that's when I'm working right now.
So do you limit yourself to one or two cups, or do you just have one cup, but you have it early, like early?
Yeah, it depends on the day, but it's always black coffee, okay, because that's how hardcore,
right,
I think I am. That's my family of origin story is absolutely. So it's usually one cup and then I'm good to go for the rest of the day.
That is amazing. I made my husband a coffee yesterday. He wanted like a shaken espresso. So I made it. And he said I put too much cream in it. He was like, this is very creamy. I was like, I'm sorry. I said, you can pour two more shots if you want, but that would be his, like, because it pours two shots at a time. I said, but that would make your sixth shot of espresso for the day, and that might be too much. He was like, yeah, this is fine. I'll just drink the milk. Okay, so I mentioned at the top, you guys are the authors of Healing Out Loud. And I really think that's interesting. You guys are like the third or fourth duo, like authoring pair that I've gotten to talk to. So I love that God's really doing something as we work together. I think that's a really fascinating thing, like bringing women and people together to work together to write something really unique. So could you guys tell us just like a little bit about your story and how this book came to be something you got to do together?
Well, I was sweating just like you were, right? When way before the book was written, before I even knew Michelle, I just realized that something could be better, right? Something was a little bit off. I knew that I loved God. I knew that He loved me. But when I was really honest and quiet with myself, I realized that I didn't like myself. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard anybody say that before. I know God loves me, but I don't like myself. And it took a while for me to acknowledge it, to say it out loud. I reached out to a counseling friend and just said, hey, I think I need to talk to somebody. and he recommended Michelle. And when you said you started sweating just thinking about having a conversation with us, that's how I felt about reaching out to her, because it felt really vulnerable to say, does everybody feel this way? Or I'm the only one on the planet who struggles with things like I don't like myself. I'm not pretty. No one likes me. And honestly, I don't blame them because I don't like myself either. And so went into a year of counseling with Michelle, who I did not know beforehand. We got to the root of some of these issues, where these negative thoughts and messages were coming from, sorting through them, healing from them. And once we ended our year-long counseling journey, we began a friendship. And then the thought was, man, this has been so helpful to me and life-changing to me. What do you think, Michelle, about the idea of sharing the story of healing from both sides of the couch? I've heard a lot of counselors write books together and clients write life stories and tell all books, but I've never seen one where you have both the counselor and a previous client write a book together. And that's where it was, really out of this place of, this has been life-altering for me, and I would really love to share this from both lenses with other people.
That's so good. Before we go on, I want to ask that revelation of like not liking yourself. We hear about like body positivity and not liking the way your body looks, or that dysmorphia. Was this like, and this might be this, I don't know, Sandy, if you want to stop me. This was like a dislike of yourself, like character, body, everything, or this was a dislike of just like, I just don't really like me. Like, I'd rather be somebody else, or I just don't want to be a, like, I don't know. I don't know the best way to phrase that.
And I'm not sure I know the best way to answer that, other than I remember Michelle asking me early on in counseling, well, how long have you felt this way about yourself? And I answered, as long as I can remember. Mm. Even as a little girl, I just remember I just didn't like myself. I didn't like the fact I had red hair. I felt like I had big feet. I felt different. I felt not only that I didn't like myself, I just had this sense that no one liked me or no one loved me. And we got to the root of that actually in counseling, why I felt unloved. But I think I felt unloved by others. And then I just took that on as, okay, well, then I don't love me or like me either. I don't know, Michelle, you may have some other insight after navigating with me in counseling, but yeah, it wasn't like I wanted to like change my body or, you know, like the whole dysmorphia thing or anything like that. And never harmed myself physically or anything like that. It was just this sense of, yeah, no one likes me, and I'm part of that club as well.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking that I had seen so much of Sandy's kind of story and coming in with this idea of dislike in my clients, and that was, it almost kind of doesn't matter the area that you don't like yourself in,
right?
Because what's most effective is getting at the root of that, right? And that's partially what counseling is for, and that's really why we wrote the book, is because, you know, it almost doesn't matter the way that we dislike ourselves or what body part we don't like, and we all have those pieces. If it's thoughts that we don't like, or if it's people's, you know, perception of us that we don't like. But the idea behind the book was, let's get it out of this individual therapeutic relationship and be able to open the doors on that, so that, you know, women wouldn't feel like they were doing this all alone, mm-hmm. or that they were the only ones that were experiencing this, because that's simply not true. There's elements in all of us, I think, that feel that. It's just to, you know, what's the depth of it and what's the root of it that we get to work with.
Yeah. Getting to the root of it is always the hardest part, because sometimes that's so deep down. When I just think of like the imagery of a root and how far you have to, like, you can pull out, you can like cut that rose bush or whatever at the dirt level, but something's still going to come up, right? Something's still going to grow up out of that root, because the root is still alive. But sometimes that root is so deep down in the dirt, it takes a lot of digging, and it takes a lot of, I love that you said it was a year long counseling journey. And when I was in counseling my first go around, it felt like every time I left the counselor's office, I talked about counseling in a way that was like, I was going up into the attic of my brain and my heart and pulling out all of those boxes and unpacking those boxes and then sorting out like, okay, what can stay, what needs to leave, what's being donated, what's trash, like all of those things. And so, but at the end of the counseling session, for a long time, nothing was fully put away. It was just like, it was like everything in the attic was laid out. And so I like that you said it was a year-long journey, because that just shows it's not a quick fix. There's not anything that's just like, oh, I found the root and we're good to go. So Sandy, as you like left those sessions, were you feeling more and more exposed? Like, were your attic boxes just displayed everywhere? Like, how did you handle that year-long, like, session after session after session?
Yeah, I loved your analogy. Mine was, I felt like a puzzle, and I, mm-hmm. you know, every week more pieces get putting on the table. They were all important, but it felt like a mess. Yeah. And I'm like, man, here's 10 more pieces, and here's 5 more pieces. And then there were some missing pieces, I felt like, too, where how can I heal if there are some missing pieces? And so it was very challenging. It was the hardest work I've done ever. And I don't want to minimize that. I want to say it was hard. It's hard to show up. It's hard to be honest. It's hard to put it all on the table. It's hard to say that it's just hard. And especially when you had tried for so long to not think about those things and to not connect that to your life today. Like, right, you're kidding me. I'm struggling today because of things that happened 40 years ago. That just seems unfair and unnecessary. And especially if you're successful or you have a lot of great things in your life, like, why in the world is something that happened to me 40 years ago consuming so much of my emotional well-being when I have all these other good things? Like, can't there be enough mm-hmm. good things to cover up some of the hard things? So it was really challenging. It was hard to show up. It was hard. But I decided early on that if I was going to go through this, I wanted it to give it its best shot. And it was very difficult. Once you start seeing some signs of connecting the dots, though, and getting better, I think that encourages you to stay with it because you see that you're on a good road.
One of the questions that was given, and it's just even funny that you said that, is oftentimes patients will ask if they're making progress. I am that person. I was like, do you think I'm getting better, Michelle? Do you think I'm doing a good job? What do you say to patients like me that's like performing through counseling?
Yeah.
I asked that question too. I totally did.
You're not alone in answering that asking that question. and I would say to that, I like you already. Mm-hmm. So please don't feel that you have to perform in therapy, because the minute you walk through that door, I value you. Mm-hmm. I value what you have to bring to counseling. You know, it's the kind of relationship where there's no judgment.
Yeah.
There's a term that's called unconditional positive regard. And that's Carl Rogers. That's, you know, one of the theorists that's, well known in counseling. And that's what we have for our clients, so that they can come in and feel safe, so that they can feel vulnerable, that they can say, you know, I have this sneaking suspicion that nobody else likes me. And is that okay? To which I say, yeah, it's okay. And I like you no matter if you're running a radio station or if you're, you know, whatever. I mean, I think the progress thing too, I always do the therapist trick and I turn it around. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know it bugs the living daylights out of people, I'm sure.
It does. Yes, it does. I can absolutely.
It does.
But, you know, I think we need to be good about checking in with ourselves. That's part of counseling, because your counselor may not always be there for you. And there's a natural end to a relationship oftentimes. So what we really want to do is prepare you well to go out back into the world and to be equipped to say, well, wait a second, like, why am I asking that question? Am I feeling uncertain about myself today? Like, what's going on? What are my emotions telling me? Do I need to write something in my journal about this? Do I need to process it with a friend? Do I need to hurry up and get back into my therapist's office? You know, we want to equip our clients well to just go out into the world.
That's good. That's really good. One of the things that I love about how God made me is I am a big feeler. Like, I feel really big feelings. Sometimes that is a bad thing because I feel everything. I can cry. I shouldn't say I can. My emotions show on my face very, very regularly. And I cry at the drop of a hat. My kids laugh. My husband, like, it's such a, it's endearing. I like this thing about me. But I have to be really mindful with my feelings because our feelings aren't always facts. And so what do our emotions kind of like drive us towards or help us? Like, how does God use our emotions to help us? And how can we lean into those things with our feelings? Because I'm guessing that like Sandy, when you're like, I don't like myself, that tends to be a feeling. And then that feeling becomes a fact in your life. And then that fact becomes how you live. So how can we manage this within our faith, like managing our feelings and how God made us?
Yeah. Linearly, it makes sense. Okay. I know God loves me. I don't like myself. One of those is fact. Clearly my family loves me. I just need to stop feeling that I don't love myself. Linearly, it makes sense. But our emotions are real. And as much as I would want to just go, well, just stop feeling that way, I did not know how to do that.
Yeah.
And I think the first place that Michelle started with was let's listen to your emotions, right? Instead of just saying, stop feeling this way, you should feel this way. It was, well, let's examine why you're feeling the way that you are. And she actually used an analogy the very first time we connected that I will never forget. And it was, our emotions are like warning lights on a car. Mm. They're not bad. When they bleep or alarm, they're telling you something's going on that you need to pay attention to. It blew my mind. I'm like, wow. So you're not going to tell me it's a bad thing that I'm feeling like I don't like myself. You're saying, hey, let's pay attention to that. Why do you feel that way? And let's take a look. So it was awesome to not see that I was the enemy. My feelings weren't the enemy. There was some reason, right, that I was feeling the way that I was. And if it were just as simple as, well, stop feeling that way, I would have done that 40 years ago. But so to me, it was, okay, we're going to take a look at what you do. We're going to acknowledge that it's real. And then we'll get into later whether it's helpful or not helpful. But we're going to start with it. We're going to acknowledge that it's real. And why do you feel this way? Mm-hmm. And examine the warning lights. It was awesome. And it was very helpful.
Yeah. And I don't know that we're necessarily born like speaking emotional languages. I mean, you think about 2-year-old toddlers that, you know, when they're distressed, when they're upset because, I don't know, the dinosaur shape in their chicken nuggets wasn't quite what they wanted, you know, they fall apart. Mm-hmm. And they're kicking and screaming. I always wish we could do that as adults, right, and get away with it. But they don't have the kind of emotional language to say, I really wanted a different dinosaur and I'm frustrated. Hopefully we develop some of that into adulthood, but there's certain events, there's things in our life, there's trauma that can sometimes stick us in place from developing this emotional language. So part of it, and it's never too late. Sandy and I just talked to a 70-year-old gentleman who is wanting to find his way through some emotional pieces that he was dealing with, to just be able to look at our emotions and say, this is what's going on right now, and this is what it means. You know, the harder emotions, the bad warning lights that's like, you know, that you're running out of gas, those are telling us maybe to like look at something really carefully and change something up, stop at the gas station, refill. The ones that are more cautionary, like I got a new car and it tells me when the roads might be icy now. She goes bing and she says, roads may be icy. I'm like, you are taking such good care of me. That's what emotions can tell us too, when it's time to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And God gave us this whole range of emotions so that we could live life really well.
Yeah.
And insightfully and deeply, everything from joy and contentment to peacefulness. We know he feels those. We also know he feels anger and frustration and distress and sorrow. Mm-hmm. And that's part of life. You know, if we cap off our emotions, if we numb our emotions, we give up both sides, the joy and the peace and the frustration and the anger.
That's so true. And we are meant to feel everything. He gave us all of those emotions. So feeling them isn't wrong. And I think that's always where I like where I'm like, I feel feelings and I love that I feel feelings. I'm thankful I'm not a robot. Like I'm thankful for these feelings. It's just a matter of like, what are these feelings telling us? And I love that. I probably will not hear a ding in my car without thinking of this, because that's such a fascinating, like, it's a reminder, like, right? Like, okay, this ding just happened. What is it telling me? So I love that.
Yeah. Like, so God wired us with emotions, right? And when we feel some, like when I was feeling that I didn't like myself or that I was just, there was something off or wrong with me or something like that. Yeah, that emotion was truthful to me, but I also knew that it wasn't rooted in truth. And so the emotions are fine as they are, but if there's a better way, right? If there's a more honest, truthful way to live as God intended, which I knew there was, I just didn't know how to get there. Then those warning lights are an indication, okay, yeah, they're truthful, but what if there's a better way? What if that didn't have to get in the way, your way of, you know, what if you were able to not feel so negatively about yourself? So the warning lights are helpful. I mean, you could continue to live that way forever, but what I found through the healing process was there's a better way. And so the next time when these alarms start going off, I have tools and resources to kind of help me navigate through, right? So where you are is truthful. You're feeling what you're feeling, that's truthful. But what if there's a better way that is more congruent with the truth of who God made you to be and who He is? Then that's what the book is about, with the healing map and with the journey, is okay, start where you are. There's no shame in that or condemnation in that. It's truthful. But there might be a more congruent way, a more honest way, right? That where everything's in alignment with how you feel and what the truth is, then that's the goal, I think, to be emotionally present and not tethered to some things in the past that are making you feel insecure or really negative about yourself when you don't have to feel that way.
That's so good.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
Hey, I just want to jump in real quick to say thank you. Thank you for listening to It's Time for Coffee. Thank you for buying my book, It's Time for Jesus. Thank you for being a friend. And that's it. I hope that you're having a great day. I am just so thankful for you. And I just want to say thank you. I hope you have a great one. Now back to today's episode. How do you stop those? How do you take care of yourself now, Sandy? Like, what is your, because a roadmap can be the same forever, and just like walking through those things, but the faster or the more healed we become, the faster we kind of walk through that map, right? So, what does taking care of yourself in this journey look like for you now?
So this is funny you're asking me this, because literally my husband and I had conversation yesterday about evidence of better in my life. I was in a very stressful situation the last couple of days, felt in way over my head, very intimidated. And before, the tape in my head would have said, you're not good enough to be here. You're going to mess up with this. You're going to fail, all of those things. And instead, I was rather able to speak truth to myself, was one way, right? To say that you've been invited here. You belong here. God's put you here for, you know, I've just been able to speak truth to myself. And then when the task was done, I felt good about how I had done at this certain event in the last couple of days. And I was able to go, that was exhilarating. I think I did my best, instead of second guessing myself or saying you should have, could have done better, you know, you, all of those negative things. So literally yesterday, my husband and I were going, I think I'm better. I think I'm seeing evidence of better, in that I saw the challenge. I started to feel a little bit overwhelmed and some of the negative voices, but then was able to speak truth and to counter that and go, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to be emotionally present. I'm not going to entertain any of the negative thoughts. I'm going to do my best. And when it was all said and done, I felt great. I felt like I had showed up and had done my best. So literally we're like, I think I'm better. And that was just yesterday. So
that's so good.
It's able to identify the negative thoughts for what they are, which are very real feelings, but they're not rooted in truth. Mm-hmm. And to say, I can choose to believe that, or I can also choose to believe something that I know to be more truthful. And I literally practiced that the last couple of days, and it feels so much better. So I'm on a little bit of a high going, I think I'm better. It's awesome.
That's the best. I think that's just
I'm so proud of you, Sandy Brown.
Why is it so important for y'all to share the story together? I know why I think it's important, but I would love to know just why now? Why this story? Why share it together?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, well, first of all, I think it's just God's timing. Knowing that the world is coming through the pandemic and the mental health challenges and even the mental health awareness that comes out of the situation with the pandemic. So the timing there is very good. But this is also an evergreen topic. Women have not liked themselves since Eve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not necessarily going to go away.
Yeah.
So what we do is we work with it. And Sandy and I knew that we really needed both sides of the couch, both sides of the conversation. Sandy's story just resonates with so many women. And men too. Yeah. We're getting some really neat feedback that men are reading Healing Out Loud as well and really benefiting from it. So, you know, we needed that piece of Sandy's humanity and vulnerability out there as she has been so brave to share. But then the question was, okay, so what do we do with this? Mm-hmm. How do we move this forward into God's truthfulness? And that's where my part is. A clinician came in just to say, you know, here's the healing map. Here's some different techniques and interventions that you can try. Here's some good self-reflection questions. And let's just, you know, kind of have a $26 counseling session here for the price of the book.
And honestly, I think, you know, why now and why share the book? I'm not really good at waiting. And so once we got done with counseling and Michelle and I became friends, I was like, man, we just got to share this now, right? Like, and I'm also the older I get, I get more forgetful. So maybe it was a matter of let's share this while it's fresh on my mind. But you know how it is. You come across something you really love and you want to share it, whether it's a cup of coffee or whether it's a restaurant or whether it's a new pair of jeans or whatever. Like you want to, you're excited about it. And my life has changed. And it is so, the trajectory is so different. I can't not share, right? And especially with women that I come in contact with every day, whether they're friends or someone I don't know, like, it just seems like it would be wrong to not say, hey, I understand where you are. I understand the struggle that you navigate through every day. I really, really do. And what if there were a way to better? And here's some help. Not that it's a one and done formula in the book, but I do believe that there are some principles and the roadmap is helpful. And so it's honestly just, I've been helped and I want to share because I want to help other people. And you know, it's truthful, it's real, and it's helpful. And I just can't help but share it.
I think that's really good. I love hearing what authors learned as they wrote their book. And I told you guys before, I call it keyboard counseling. We live our books. So you guys lived this experience and then you wrote it. And as we're writing, God really like teaches us kind of a final lesson as we kind of like pour over the book. I know there's times where I was like, God, I dealt with this in counseling, or we already dealt with this. I don't need to go back over it. And he's like, one more time. So what was a moment of keyword counseling for the two of you as you wrote this all out?
Mine was the last chapter. We were writing the last chapter and we thought we knew how it was going to land and end. And I hit a big bump in the road and I was triggered by something in a pretty intense way. And emotionally, I felt like I was right back where I had started. Mm. And after several days of beating myself up about it, I'm like, how do I write a book, right, about being better? And here I am struggling. And so I reached out to Michelle and she just very emphatically said, you are not where you were. You're not. Right now, those feelings might feel familiar, but you are not where you were. And that declaration and then me praying about it, God just revealed that the book is called Healing Out Loud, not Healed Out Loud, right? That we're in a battle for our minds and hearts as long as we're breathing.
Yep.
And so the lesson for me, and it was important that it happened that last chapter, was to say, you know what? we're all a work in progress. And I got the picture in my mind of like a battleground, and you start one place and you take territory and you move and you move and you move. So on some days when the battle feels really hard, you're like, man, I'm right back where I was. No, I'm still in the fight, but I am not where I was, right? There have been victories since then. And so that was the lesson for me that the Lord needed to teach me. And he actually taught it, you know, in that last chapter, that we are healing, we are battling, we're moving on, but man, I'm staying in the fight. And it's a good place to be. The battleground is hard, but it's a good place to be.
Yeah, I think it took about a year to write the book including editing, and we were cooking right along with the writing. You know, Sandy, you had your journal entries that you kept during counseling, and that's part of the book. So that was a very reflective process for you. I think the part that was so interesting to me, I mean, you guys know therapists, we're working on ourselves all the time as well. We have definitely not arrived in the emotional and cognitive spaces. But very early on, I had written a part about the death of my dad in the triggers section, and just kind of how we work with when something comes up for us unexpectedly that might be out of the blue painful. What do we do with those triggers? How do we process through those? And I had used an example from the death of my father. And so I wrote that pretty early on in our process. And then it went to the editor and she made comments all throughout the book. And then when it came back to me, I realized I am in a different place with this. And the tone went from just this really full sorrow and sadness that I held when I first wrote it to moving through to the point of just like a really bittersweet kind of smiling about that. And that was like that moment of, boy, this has really changed, even in a short amount of time, as I walked through kind of taking my own advice essentially about how to work through triggers. And how to recognize them for where they're at. So that was a really sweet gift just to me personally. And also, you know, just to tag on to the differences that Sandy saw, like where does the process go and how do we put these little earmarks into it? Sometimes they're really subtle and we got to be really aware for those changes. And sometimes it's like a revelation, like, oh, this is it. I feel so happy walking away from this conference. And I didn't know that that was in me. Yeah. We get to have all the scope of those experiences, from very subtle to, you know, jumping up and down in the middle of a hotel conference room. I don't know if you did that or not, Sandy, but.
Could have happened. But you should have. That's what we're saying. I think that's beautiful. That's so good. I love that so much. I had told you guys before we started recording that one of the hardest things that I'm walking, not even walking through, but having to do right now is I told my husband I would make us counseling appointments. And Sandy, I would just love your encouragement for our listeners, because you guys have already encouraged me and I know that I can do this. But it's just such a funny thing, like picking up the phone to call a counselor is probably one of the hardest things. And do you know what I need? How I'm going to prepare? I'm going to have my insurance card next to me, because if I don't have it, I'll be like, oh, I don't have it. I'll call you back later. And guess what? I won't do. I won't call you back later. So I know that that's something I need to like be prepared for. But Sandy, can you give us just a little bit of encouragement on picking up the phone and just doing it, like more than just do it? Because that's like the advice I want. I'm like, just do it, as I'm the one like, oh, where's my phone? I don't know. Can't call today.
Yeah, there are two things that come to mind, and we write about this in the book. One is that feeling is terrifying. So I get it. It's not even real or explainable. You're making a phone call, for goodness sakes, right? But what it evokes inside is so real and so scary. I completely get that. It felt to me like I was getting ready to jump off of the high board at the community pool when I was a kid for the first time, scared to death, right? It's a long way up and the bottom's a long way down. And I would just say, much like probably when you were a kid, jump anyway. I'm here to tell you that the deep end is fine and it's worth the jump. You're going to want to get up and jump again and again and again, right? But you only know that once you've jumped once. And the other thing that I would say is that it's good. Like, hard is hard, but it can also be really good. Mm-hmm. And from one who's gone through the really hard road, including that calling for the first time, I felt like my life was just going to be over with that phone call. Like, right, there was point of no return. And literally in the first 45-minute phone call conversation I had with Michelle, I had such peace and assurance that, you know what, I'm not broken. I'm not bad. There are probably some wounds that needed to be tended to. She understood me. She got me. She was helpful and hopeful. And all of that in the first 45-minute conversation. Everything that I feared did not happen. What I most needed did happen. So I'm just going to tell you, pick up the phone, get your card ready, dial, and trust that it is a big step, but it is such a good one. It's going to lead to some great places.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, do you have any advice for us as we make these phone calls, as we seek out a counselor?
Well, I would say first and foremost, as Sandy did, it's really important to get a referral. Mm. I think that is one good step towards already knowing a little bit about that person and maybe feeling that they're a little bit more trustworthy. So I would say ask your friends and family mm-hmm. who have been through counseling if there's someone that they particularly like. That way you've sort of vetted the person, yep. you know a little bit about them. So I encourage you just to do your homework. And I would just echo Sandy's sentiment that even if you don't feel like you're worth it, you absolutely are. Mm-hmm. Your relationships and the outcome of counseling and feeling some hope and some freedom, engaging in deep relationships, all of these things that are that outcome, quieting that voice, that negative voice inside your head, it's absolutely worth the process. And you are worth it paramount to all of that.
That's so good. Well, thank you guys for that advice. The last question I love asking is, what is it time for in your own lives right now? What season are you walking in? What is it time for in your life?
Go ahead, Michelle. What's it time for? Other than calling your counselor.
Yeah, that's what it's time for in my life.
Jeanette,
that's what
it's time to call your counselor.
That's right. Counselor, right.
That's right. You are so right.
We want to see your insurance card before we
go. That's right. Pull it out for y'all.
Yeah, I think I love this question because, and as I've been reflecting on it since you sent it to us, Jeanette. So here's the thing is, you know, I'm a little bit of a late bloomer. I didn't, you know, complete a PhD. I didn't go into counseling until about 10 years ago, and I'm in my mid-ish 40s. So what I'm going to say is God knows the timing in the seasons and spaces that he calls you to. I have thought in the back of my head to write a book since about second grade. But here's the thing is that in his perfect timing, he had me wait until I was in my mid-40s. So but he knows that that seed was planted very, very long ago. And the sweetness of the season of waiting, I think that's what I would say is, like, don't miss that part because there's still a lot that goes on that God is working through, no matter what season you're in. So I think I just encourage women especially to live in the fullness of the season that they're in, even if it's a season of sorrow, if it's a season of, you know, trying to give your 2-year-old the dinosaur chicken nugget that he wants, whatever it is, if it's writing a book, you know, the beauty is that it's in his timing. It might be a little bit later than we thought, but it is always perfect and he's going to bring the people alongside of you.
And I think for me, it's just time to savor. I don't know fully what that means, but if I rush through a meal, I don't enjoy it all fully and I don't savor it. And I'm just feeling invited to savor every piece. And I didn't know what Michelle was going to say, a little bit similar to what she just said, but, you know, there's joy in every day. There is better in every day there. And if I'm so rushed into things that I can't savor, and so I'm just trying to savor every minute of every day that I can. I know we're busy and we're hectic and But I don't want to miss anything. And so I feel like I'm invited to savor, whatever, as odd as that may sound, just the richness and to look forward and to appreciate for what it is because it's there every day.
That's so good. I love that. I think that those are both so, so sweet and so timely just to hear in my own life. And I think just really appreciate you guys for that. Where can we follow along? Where can we buy your guys' book? How can we heal out loud? How can we do this with you guys?
We have healingoutloud.com, which is our website. We're also Healing Out Loud Book on Facebook. But yeah, you can buy the book anywhere, Amazon, great, ChristianBook.com, Barnes and Noble. It is everywhere. And I would just encourage you, you know, yeah, Michelle mentioned it's about $26 and you will find not only intriguing story, commonality of someone who's walked journeys probably like yours, but more important than that, you're going to find help along your way, an invitation mm-hmm. to your own journey. So it's a little bit about my story, but so much more important, it is about your journey, starting where you are and navigating to whatever better looks like. So pick mm-hmm. up a copy. We would encourage you to connect with us on Facebook or through our website and let us know what you think. I think you're going to be intrigued and love it.
Man, I hope that you loved meeting Sandy and Michelle today. What a sweet story of how they were counseling, you know, they were in the counseling room together and then became friends and wrote a book together. I just love that so much. I love their dynamic of friendship. I love that they shared this story and have opened up this world of counseling for us all that we can hopefully heal together through all of this. Hey, if you're looking for a counselor, I just want to encourage you to pick up the phone. I know that's the hardest part, and I know that we need it. There's no shame in calling a counseling office. Have that insurance card ready. That's the hardest part. Get it ready. Get ready to go, and let's get healthy. Let's get healthy together, okay? All right, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day and I read every single one of them. And I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that. And if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.